God bless you all.
Amen.
What a privilege to be here today in the presence of the Lord, to hear the true word of God, to believe every word and obey by the grace of God. We also have today our Brother Ellis. Would you stand? Where is Brother Ellis from Edmonton? Would you like to come and greet the congregation just with a few words? What about Brother Arpin? Are you still here? Yeah, just come. Just come. Where's Brother Arpin? Yes, just come. We are so grateful to Almighty God. From all nations, from everywhere. God bless you. Just a word of greeting. God bless you, son.
I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We're very grateful that we can all be here today.
Yes.
And we know that the Lord has already blessed us and will continue blessing us and has blessed our brother, Brother Frank.
God bless you, son. Yeah, Brother Arpin, just... Where's Brother Jean Lambert? Yes.
May the Lord Jesus Christ bless us all in a special and mighty way. I'm Brother Arben from Krefeld, Germany, and I'm here today to hear the word of God according to the promises that the Lord has made in this generation. He has sent a prophet like unto Elijah to restore his word, and we have a message of restoration that is brought to us today. It's the due food and the spiritual food that we need, that we might partake in what God is doing, and that we will see the fulfillment of the scriptures according to his promise that he has given us today. Amen.
Amen. Just for your information, a Kosovo Muslim, and now a son of God.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Yes, how wonderful. How wonderful. Beloved, in the presence of God, there are not great and small. We're all just sons and daughters of God. The ministries and callings are different, but it's the same Lord God placing different ministries into the body of Christ for the perfection, of the saints. So every ministry God has placed into the body of Christ is for the perfection in the word and will of God. Before we briefly go into the word, let me just say this. London reminds me about a very short visit of William Branham. When Brother Branham was on his way to Finland, he came to London because King George was very sick. And they called for Brother Branham to come and pray for King George. So on his way to Finland, Brother Branham had to stop over in London and prayed for King George the Fifth. So by the grace of God, we're here in London to hear the word of God with all the promises. And never forget, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 20. All the promises of God are yea and amen. They can never be taken back. God himself is responsible to fulfill every promise he made, but only if we believe the promises We shall see them fulfilled. As we said yesterday, unbelief, something that hinders God to confirm His word. Therefore, we must and we can believe with all our hearts every word of God. And as our brother Thomas was mentioning, I don't need anybody to say much. God has confirmed His call all over the world. And everybody knows that Brother Branham, on every trip he made, he was speaking as an evangelist, using the gift of divine healing and also seeing visions. After the opening of the seals in March 63, Brother Branham never made a mission trip. And when he went to South Africa, there was a stamp in his passport: cannot participate in religious meetings. He was very disappointed. But after the opening of the seals, he could not make another trip preaching or sharing the mysteries of God. But on tape, we have all the sermons right from beginning to the end. And I told you before that every sermon since the 1950s, precisely since 1958, every sermon Brother Branham preached 3 weeks later arrived in Krefeld, Germany. So I grew up under Brother Branham's ministry, and I not only heard his sermons, I translated them line for line into the German language. So if there is anyone who was acquainted with the ministry, who knows the message in and out, it's only the grace of God, because my ministry was directly connected, or a continuation, as the teaching ministry of what God has given to Brother Branham. Now coming directly, briefly, to what we have to say here today. First, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in the last verse, we read 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable, in holiness before God, even our Father. Establish our hearts blameless, washed in the blood of the Lamb, washed in the waters of the Word. Nothing that can be blamed remains. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And if we take a real bath in the Word of God, no stain remains. We are blameless in the Word of God, but we must be in the Word and will of God. Brother Branham used Amos 3 verse 7 many times. By the name of three, verse 3 we read, how can two walk together unless they agree? Unless they agree. How can we walk with God unless we agree with every word of God? And the great question is, who is going to partake in the rapture? We have one example from the Old Testament about Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Enoch walked with God. We have to walk with God in obedience to the word of God, in love, not a must, but because we love God, we love his word, and therefore we stay by God's grace in the word of God. Then in chapter 4, we read about the return of Christ. How many different interpretations are given on this chapter here and on what was said. But everything will take place the way it is written. Our Lord himself, not a teaching, not a message. The message goes forth now. But when the moment comes, when our Lord will take us home, his coming will be like the lightning shines from the east to the west. So the coming of the Lord shall be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15, not weeks and years, but in a moment. Let me say this again. Now is the time of calling out, the time of preparation, the time of separation, the time being united with God, in the will of God, to walk with God. And according to Romans chapter 8, we are justified. There's nothing left. Absolutely justified. And Brother Branham made the statement and said, justification means that you never did it in the first place. It's not accounted to you. Total, total forgiveness, redemption. And by the grace of God, we understand and believe how it happened. Because the original sin did not happen in Genesis 1 when Adam was in the spiritual body, but in chapter 2 when Adam was put into a body of flesh. Only then Eve could be taken out from Adam. So we see, when God manifests himself during the Old Testament, he could not die and the bride could not be taken out from him. Amen. But then we say the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And just like the side of Adam was opened and Eve was taken out, so the side of the Savior was opened. And the blood was shed, and the bride was taken from the bridegroom. Ephesians chapter 5, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. So we are, by the grace of God, children of God, sons and daughters of God. Even for this, I'm so grateful that Brother Branham could say, the angel of the Lord stood in my room and he told me what happened with Eve and the serpent in the morning and what happened with Adam and Eve in the afternoon on the same day. Can you imagine the angel of the Lord coming down from heaven, standing in the room, talking directly to William Branham, the servant and prophet of Almighty God? So we are blessed because we are taken into the whole counsel of God, and we see why redemption was necessary and how it happened, and as we are placed back as sons and daughters of God. But here we read, unblameable, without spot, without wrinkle. And therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, please, not under pressure, not in fanaticism, but in love, respecting and believing every word of God, and in love and respect, obeying every word of God. Let it become your life, as the Apostle Paul was also saying, Christ died for us, Romans 14. So if we live, we live for Christ. And by the grace of God, we see the restoration taking place. We see the calling out taking place from all nations. And as especially our two brothers, Brother Michael, a man from Pakistan, and everybody knows India and Pakistan are some of the biggest countries on earth. And here's Emmanuel, a man from India. Just imagine, over 1 billion speak the Hindi language. Over 500,000 speak the Urdu language. And here are two brothers whom God has put upon the heart to share the word of God with their people. And as Brother Michael knows, when we had the meetings in October in Pakistan, 8,000 people were gathered to hear the word of God. And the government has sent a small delegation to receive us at the airport. In a Muslim country, a man of God is being received by a government delegation, brought to the stadium where 8,000 people were gathered to hear the word of God. Beloved, this is God's time for every nation under heaven. And so we look back to the many years I preach in Cairo, I preach in Damascus. In every nation, the word of the hour was being preached, and those who are of God will hear the words of God. That's written in John chapter 8. They that are of God hear the words of God. And then our Lord had to turn to the Pharisees and say, you don't hear them because you're not of God. It was a tragedy for all Israel that the teachers of that day missed what God had promised since the days of Adam, that he would send a Savior and the seed of God would come to bruise the serpent's head. Can you imagine? They were waiting for 4,000 years for the Messiah, for the Redeemer to come. And then the scribes, there's one very special verse in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, when our Lord spoke to those who did not recognize the day of their visitation. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Luke 7, verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God for themselves, being not baptized by John. Imagine for one moment a man sent from God, and even our Lord and Savior went to the Jordan River and asked him to be baptized, saying, we must fulfill all righteousness. The Savior was the example for all that are being saved, one example that all righteousness is being fulfilled. Beloved, and here we read that the Pharisees and the scribes rejected. They didn't reject John. They rejected the plan of salvation. They rejected the counsel of God. They rejected what God has done in their time and day. Beloved, we have to say it. All who reject now to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject the plan of salvation. They reject the counsel of God, because in the counsel of God, the time of restoration was part of what God has planned for our day. And restoration means to be brought back to the original position, and spiritually speaking, to the original doctrines of the apostles. And this question goes to the Pentecostal movement, to the charismatic movements. Now we have 550 million Pentecostals and charismatic people on earth. And if you go to these 550 million and would ask, are you baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? They will reject you, and they will say, it's a wrong doctrine. What is wrong? The Bible is the true word of God, and every Bible teaching is established on 2, 3 and more witnesses. And so we understand all we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one time until the year 337, the formula in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was used. Even 300 years after the apostles, you can go into church history. Baptism took place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the moment they came up with the Trinity teaching, they had to make a Trinity baptism. I cannot go into all these details, but they had to search church history to know what I'm talking about. But by the grace of God, beloved brothers and sisters, we are brought back. Let all denominations, let all go their own ways. But we have recognized God's day of visitation. And we can say, like it is written in Psalms 118, this is the day the Lord has made for us. Let us rejoice and praise the Lord, for he has visited this generation in a very special and supernatural way by the grace of God. Never since the time of our Lord has there been such a ministry on earth as the Lord has sent in our day. Not to lift up a man, no. And this is what I always have to emphasize. If we connect the congregation with us, something is wrong. We must connect the congregation with God. And if you know about the developments in the message of the hour, you can take both hands and take your head and walk off. Even when our Lord said about John the Baptist, he was greater than the prophets, people say he was more, yeah. But Luke 16:16 says, the law was until John, the law and the prophets, and from that time, the kingdom of God is being preached. John's ministry was more and greater than the ministry of the prophets. The prophets foretold, the prophets announced, but John could say, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But to make John more than a man is just absolutely a wrong spirit. To make William Branham more than a man is absolutely a wrong spirit. The Holy Spirit will give all the glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even this I also have to say, to change Revelation 10, verse 7. I'm sorry about this, but in April 1966, when Brother Frank attended the funeral service, after the service, I called the people, the brothers together, and up to that day, not a single sermon was printed. It was Brother Frank who said to the brethren, to Brother Neville, to Sotman, to Woods, to all the brothers, even Levail was present. I said, beloved brothers, now the sermons which are being typed must be printed because we must translate them into other languages. And by the grace of God, because I knew Brother Roy Borders, we appointed Brother Roy Borders to be in charge of the printing of the sermons of Brother Branham in April 1966. And the title was, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. But now, in 1981, that was changed. And now it's Voice of God. But Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, is the announcement when the seventh trumpet angel will sound, then the mystery of God will be finished, as he has revealed to his servants, the prophets. Beloved brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I cannot stand a single interpretation. I cannot stand a single wrong doctrine. I cannot and I will not. To me, the word of God is the word of God, and nobody has a right to change the word of God. And I remember, as we have some friends here from Europe, in 1980, for the first time in Marseille, France, we had meetings with Brother Barrier and some friends from Armenia working in France were coming after the service asking, can you tell us what the seven thunders are? It was the first time in my life that I had to say I don't know. I don't know. And just said good night and went up the stairs in my small room. I have my Bible here, and I still have the same watch. This is a watch that runs day and night, maybe forever, as long as time will be. But brothers and sisters, it is one thing to read 2 Timothy 4 and say, oh, it's wonderful. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy. But it is totally different if you hear with these ears, my servant, rise and read 2 Timothy 4. You know what that means. You know what that means, brothers and sisters. I jumped up. I took my Bible. I read from verse 1 to verse 5. I charge thee before God, our Lord and Savior, who will judge the living and the dead, preach the word, it be in time or out of time, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I read up to verse 5. And then I started again with verse 1. And when I came to verse 2, read verse 2 the second time, and then I put my Bible down like this. My hands went up like this. I said, dear Lord, as certain as you commissioned me to read 2 Timothy 4 to preach the word, what the seven thunders uttered is not written in the word of God, and therefore it cannot be preached. That is, thus says the Lord.
Amen.
If anybody come seven times, just open the door and tell him to move. Just tell him there is the exit. No, please don't believe anything unless it's written in the word of God. And last night, one of our brothers read Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And you know what is written here? Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, that we should keep the things which are written. About the things which are not written, you don't need to worry. God will take care of them. Here it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. Who read and keep those things which are written in it? I told this before, and I refer to it again. When Brother Branham had the vision about the appearing of the supernatural cloud with the seven angels in the form of a pyramid, in December 1962, Brother Branham asked Brother Frank to go and preach in Los Angeles for Damis Shakarian. And Brother Branham said, the Lord showed me a vision about the appearing of the supernatural cloud. I must pack. I must go to Tucson. I must be in Arizona when this takes place, asking Brother Frank to go to Los Angeles to preach. I'd never been to Los Angeles before, but because Brother Branham asked me to go, I went. I preached in the Clifton's cafeteria to the Full Gospel Businessman's chapter. And what was it? 6 months before, Brother Branham saw the appearing of the seven angels. And he says in his testimony, the seventh angel in the pyramid meant more to me than the other six. And the seventh angel was the one talking to my return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. But in connection with this mighty supernatural experience, seven thunders, and the earthquake shook the whole area, 42 miles from Tucson, right towards the Mexican border. I was there, I saw the place. But because Brother Branham had this tremendous experience in connection with the opening of the seven seals, and then the brothers were asking, what about the seven thunders? And then he made the final statements. That is what the opening of the seals was all about. Beloved brothers and sisters, if you would know the gratefulness in my heart to have followed Brother Branham's ministry, to have fully understood everything he said, it's the grace of Almighty God. And I can share these things in the presence of Almighty God. And what I say here, I would say if the Lord would stand to my right, I would say the same words. Beloved, let us summarize again what we're here for today. We must, and by the grace of God, we realized the day of God's visitation. We acknowledge and believe the promise for this day. I will send you Elijah the prophet to restore all things. This is not a doctrine only. This is a reality. This is a reality. Every promise of God moves into reality. And by the grace of God, we are being restored, fully restored, and washed in the waters of the Word to be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin, as the Apostle Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But then the apostle also said, I fear, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that your hearts might be beguiled also. Beloved brothers, never should it happen to you to be beguiled in just a religious way. And the prophet said, and come back to the Word of God and let me know where the Word of God says what you are saying. And therefore, I believe that all brothers who are called to preach the Word of God, they should not hide behind Brother Branham. If you want to hear what Brother Branham said, take what he said. Just it's all in print. All the sermons he preached, it's all in print. So if a brother goes to the pulpit and speaks, and then says, that's what William Branham said, that is totally wrong. Only when that certain man takes a sermon of Brother Branham and reads what he actually said, then he can say, this is what Brother Branham said. Not talking, and then hiding behind Brother Branham. And those who refer to Brother Frank, it's the same. Don't just say and speak and say, this is also what Brother Frank says. No, if you refer to Brother Frank. You must take one of his books, or you must take one of the circular letters, or one of the brochures, and then you can read from it, and then you can say, this is what Brother Frank said. But not if you say what you wish to say, and then, no, beloved, we must be honest.
Amen.
We have to be honest. And God's people have a right to know the truth 100%. And as the Apostle Paul and also the Apostle John was emphasizing, there is no error in the truth. Truth is forever truth, and error is error. Interpretation is interpretation, but the true word of God remains the true word of God. So we must do as it did in the book of Acts. They searched daily to see if the things are so. They did not only hear and believe, they searched for themselves in Berea, a very nice city, Berea, and they searched. The prophets searched in the Old Testament to see if it is so. We have to do the same. And by the grace of God, we understand everything that God spoke through the lips of William Branham. At the same time, forgive me for saying this, but one statement which is really hurting me is when Brother Branham spoke about the Lord's Supper in questions and answers, how precisely did he say that the bread must be baked by holy hands? One bread and one cup and one cup and one cup. One bread and one cup. And I say this with a broken heart. When I attended the meeting in Jeffersonville and was called to preach in the morning and in the afternoon, you know how the Lord's Supper was served. Hundreds of small glasses, like if you drink a liqueur, yeah, hundreds of small glasses, and also not one bread, but a few things there. Everything was already broken. I wept. I wept so much. And if I think about it, that even the last time Brother Branham took the Lord's Supper on December the 12th, 1965, in Tucson, Brother Peregrine served the Lord's Supper with hundreds of glasses and with a few plates. Everything was already broken. These things break my heart. Why not practice what the man of God said and taught? Where is the respect towards God and His holy word? If the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, that as it is one bread, we are one body, and first the bread must be blessed and then broken, and then all partake of the same bread. Then the cup must be blessed and all partake of the same cup. How can you have many hundreds of glasses and then say it's the Lord's Supper? There are a few things that I feel sorry about. There are a few things that have not been placed back, that have not been restored, as the message of the hour says, that all things should be restored. And up to this day, they practice what they have done all through the years, not even thinking to correct themselves, but being proud that they believe the message. If you believe the message, you return to the original foundation. You return to what the apostles have taught and practiced. So, beloved, it's not enough to just say, I believe the prophet, I believe the message. No, just by the grace of God. Let us search the scriptures and then obey and put all things into the right place in the fear of God, respecting the divine order, respecting the divine order, respecting the message of restoration and having part in the full restoration by the grace of Almighty God. There are so many scriptures filling my heart. I could weep if I think about a number of things which are going on, but at the same time, the Lord has his way with the true elect. And the true elect cannot be deceived. Satan will try everything, but they cannot be deceived. The wise virgins cannot be deceived. They have the oil with them to refill. And by the grace of God, we are refilling and refilling. Being grateful to Almighty God for the full revelation of the whole counsel of God. Every true Bible doctrine is very clear. Nobody needs to come and try to help us. The Holy Spirit has done a perfect work of God in us. So, the final result of the message of the hour will be the bride washed in the blood of the Lamb. Even from every stain, washed in the water of the Word of God. Everything. May the fear of God, the respect towards every Word of God be in you. And those who think Brother Branham has to return, just forget it. If there's no promise in God's Word, there cannot be a fulfillment. And this is a direct misleading of God's people. Imagine Brother Branham was so disappointed because all doors were closing. Only the full gospel door was left open. And Brother Branham said, I go to Alaska. I could not preach anymore. He was just in desperation. And then a brother had a dream. And in the dream, the brother said, I heard Brother Branham say, I will ride this trail once more. And from this dream and from this statement, they made the doctrine that Brother Branham will return and ride the trail once more. But Brother Branham was speaking during his lifetime because he was ready to give up and then to ride once more. And then he made this statement that will shock you. You might have never read it. He made a statement, the steering wheel was taken out of my hands. When I read this, when I heard this, the steering wheel was taken out of my hands. And then he said in another tape, this message will go to another country. Brother Branham made a number of statements, and this goes back to the statement that he referred to 55 times when he received the commission, the direct commission to bring the message. But then he said, not that I would forerun the second coming, but the message given to me will be the forerunning of the second coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, you have to know every statement. You have to know where he made it. Did he make it before the opening of the seals, during the opening of seals, or after the opening of the seals? You must know when, where, and why Brother Branham made the different statements. Not only say the prophet said, and confuse the people. No, by the grace of God we understand. God has taken his prophet. But from that time, the message of the hour, the message of restoration, of calling out, of preparation, was shared with the whole earth. And if I think right now, we serve 172 nations around the earth. The Word of God. The scripture is fulfilled, this gospel of the kingdom of God. Everything pertaining to the kingdom of God is being preached to all nations as a witness, and then the end shall be. Has there ever been a time like this that we can share the word of God in London and all the earth can join and hear? Beloved brothers, this is God's time for God's people, for the last message to reach the ends of the earth. And by the grace of God, we are witnesses of what the Lord has done and is doing in our time. But also, one more statement. Those who believe that Brother Branham will return, and this was also the teaching of my old friend in Tucson, that Brother Branham will come back and have a ministry about 30 to 40 days, and he preached the earthquake in Los Angeles in the West Coast will bring the resurrection, whatever. No, I don't believe that. But here is the point, beloved brothers and sisters. All brothers who believe wrong teachings reject Brother Frank. And they say he's got no right to say that he was called of God. There's only one that was called of God, and we stay with him. But they bypass what God has done in all these years since 1965. God has done great things as never before. And as I said, the message of the hour has reached the ends of the earth. But those who believe different doctrines, they just bypass and they say, oh, that's a German squarehead. Let him just go. No, I'm not a German squarehead. I have a divine call. I heard the voice of the Lord a number of times. I've spent all my life, actually, day and night, to write, to read, or to preach, or to fly. And if I think in 20 years from January 1993 to December 2013, I made 6 million miles in the air. I have the document with me from Lufthansa, German airline. Every month, 2 weeks home, 2 weeks traveling, 2 weeks home, 2 weeks traveling up to this day because of the divine commission. And by the grace of God, I believe the Lord himself will finish his work. And I read it to you from Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, we are told precisely that the Lord himself will finish his work with the redeemed and come and take us home to glory. By the grace of God, I know you are going to be part of this. Here it says in Romans chapter 9, verse 28. Romans 9, 28. For the Lord will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. And he will finish his work. He will finish his work, and then he shall come. You can read the whole verse. Beloved brothers and sisters, in closing, let me say this. This is the greatest time in the history of the New Testament church. And if you think about it, that in the days of the apostles, in the church of Corinth, they only had what Paul was writing to the Corinthians, in the Roman church, in the different local churches. But today, we have the whole Word of God, everything. And not only we have, but by the grace of God, the full revelation of what is written in the Holy Scriptures. Everything was granted in the message of the hour when God sent his servant and prophet William Branham, the greatest man of God since the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, brought us back to God, brought us back to the message of the hour. And we do believe with all our hearts that our Lord will come soon. I believe the return of Christ is absolutely very, very near. Don't take time to think, just believe every word of God. Prepare for the return of Christ. Have part in what God finally does. Never be caught in confusion. No, stay true to the Word of God. And then we shall see together the Lord when he returns. Once again, what is written in 1 Thessalonians 4 will happen precisely the way it is written. The Lord himself will descend. At that time, not a message. The Lord himself will descend. The Lord himself ascended into heaven. The Lord himself will come back. And all who died in Christ, he will bring with him. And we who are alive at that time shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up to glory. So everything will happen precisely in the divine order. It is written in God's holy word. When the Lord returns, the dead in Christ will rise, we shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up to meet the Lord in glory. And as I told you before, beloved brothers and sisters, I saw the rapture. And that's as true as this Bible here experiences. You don't pray for, you don't ask for. They come by the sovereignty of Almighty God. They just come by the grace of God. But you all remember what happened in December 1980 when I was in Ghana, in Nigeria, and had gotten malaria tropica, came back and was taken to the hospital, and the doctor said it's too late. No blood transfusion, nothing can be done. Over 50% of my red blood was already eaten up by the other particulars. And I was pushed into a room where people die. One curtain here and one curtain here. Can you imagine? In January 1981. And I knew I was going. I could not speak anymore, but I could still hear a little. And I wanted to say these words, "Dear Lord, how do I stand in your presence?" The next moment, I was taken out of this body under the blue sky. And when I looked to my right, I saw a multitude that no one can number. All were young. All were about 17, 18, not over 20. All were young. Sisters had long hair hanging down the neck. I saw it. We were going up and going up. I knew this is the rapture. And beloved brothers, waves of glory came through that celestial body, just that you could feel. It was just something very, very extraordinary, something I'd never experienced before. But then something happened. I suddenly had to look up, and then I saw the New Jerusalem. I can draw the New Jerusalem precisely. And Brother Branham, you remember the statement of Brother Branham? He said, "It's not like a pyramid." Yeah. Maybe I should once give the drawing, but it's not necessary. We'll be there soon anyway. What I want you to know is this. Before our body can be changed, our innermost being has to be changed. Our heart must be changed. Our life must be changed. Everything inside must be changed now. And when the Lord returns, then the body will be changed. Can you imagine how disappointed I was when I opened my eyes in the hospital room and could push the bed myself? Beloved brothers and sisters, if you read in Job 33:25, the man of God said, "We shall be placed back into the days of our youth." In the resurrection, there will be no trace of sin, no trace of sickness, no trace of old age. In the resurrection, we'll be perfect, 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 young forever and ever. That which was will be past, and we shall be in glory forever. How many wish to be in the rapture? Let us stand for a word of prayer. Let us stand for the word of prayer and rededicate our lives to the Lord. And my direct request to God Almighty is that nobody will misunderstand a single statement, that nobody will construe something from what I said and make something out of it. Just leave it. Just leave it as it was said. And be prepared for the return of Christ. Lord God, I pray for the whole congregation present and for those who are listening. My God, the purpose of you sending the prophet is accomplished. The message will accomplish what it was sent for all over the earth. And we thank you, dear Lord, that in all nations, in all languages, the true word of God is being published, and all who have an ear to hear will hear the true word of God, will come out from all confusion and believe every word of God, be washed in the blood of the Lamb, be justified by faith, and be sanctified in the word of God by the Holy Spirit. Lord God, complete your work with all of us and come soon. And we say together, Maranatha, Maranatha. So come, Lord Jesus, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So by the grace of God, we say together, even so come, Lord Jesus, and take us home to glory. Lord God, we thank you for these meetings. We thank you for the word, for the grace. Be with us all and bless each and every one. May those who are sick be healed, those who are bound be delivered, those who need forgiveness, may they receive the forgiveness. May this be the day you have made for all of us. May the blessings of Almighty God rest upon you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming. Pray for me. We shall pray for each other. God bless you. Amen.